But I want to talk with you today about what path you're on. What's your journey looking like in life, and what are you experiencing and going through? And how's God helping you, or how are you struggling with the journey and the things that you're experiencing in life? And as we, as we go through these events in our life each week, how we respond to those things is how we get to be the salt and the light as children of God, as believers. The path, the journey we're on is our testimony to the community around us, to those that we relate to and interact with. I want to scroll through here some pictures. We've got this first one here. It's just a picture of an open highway. It doesn't look like you're going anywhere. Is that the reflection of maybe the journey and the path you're on? Let's look at some of the others here. You might be just looking for a path that is smooth, that's easy to walk on, like a sidewalk. You might be looking for another path that is that path that you took this morning, going to the church, looking for some spiritual direction. Maybe you've been drawn to look for security and financial things in your life. You're looking for stability through monetary means that you can provide because of the work ethic that you've been taught, and what you do every day is going to give you that purpose. Maybe you're looking for it in recognition. Maybe it's fame and status and a symbol of how others accept you and how you are perceived, is about your reputation. Maybe that's the path and journey you're on that you're more focused on than anything else. Maybe there could be another path that you're experiencing. Maybe you've been drawn to the dark side. Maybe there are things that are unhealthy. Maybe it's addictions or things that you've allowed yourself to be pulled down with and is destructive. But hopefully you didn't stay there on the dark side. You've been drawn to spiritual things. You're on a path that is leading you toward the cross and that relationship with Christ. And you're using God's word for that. Maybe you're following a path where you're following the crowd. Maybe you don't want to be out on your own, and you can't proceed in your path unless you've got somebody with you. So you've got a friend, a partner with you. But there are days we all feel like we're alone on our path, don't we? We're trudging along that by ourselves, trying to get to where we need to be, trying to follow maybe that direction God's given us, and we're just struggling. Sometimes we're looking for a new path, and it's, is this the one I'm supposed to be on? It looks pretty good. It's a wide path. It's a little rocky. It looks pretty stable. Or maybe my path looks like this. Maybe it's a narrow path. Maybe it's not too predominant. There's some grass growing in it. It's been used some, but it's not a real active path. Or maybe my path looks like this. It's a little more of a challenge. Has some elevation to it, and I struggle a little bit. Or maybe my path that I want is an extreme path. I think I want God to challenge me and give me that difficult path that's going to be extreme. Or maybe it's just the simple, I need choices, God. There may be a smooth path on one side, or there's a narrow path that leads this direction. I like variety. Maybe it's a path that is, it's a trailblazer. Nobody's been there before. You have to cut it away and create your own path. What is happening in your life? What kind of path are you on? What is God doing? What are you recognizing how God's helping you? Is it overgrown and not been used much? A definition of a path is something that is a repeated occurrence, frequently used, active, and it is evident that travel happens on it frequently. Some of the paths that I think about when I think about paths are those early experiences I had around a farm. And the paths that the livestock, the horses and the cows created going out to the pastures and coming back to the barn, there are definite paths that you could see. And no grass grew in that path, because if it interfered with the path, it got trampled on. It got crushed. It was not going to survive because it was used daily. As we talk about these different activities this morning in the path of our life, that's a thought to kind of let linger there in the back of your mind. The path and the relationship that you have with God, is it so active that nothing would dare interfere with your path and activity every day going to God? Is your path clear? Or is it overgrown? Is there something obstructing your path? Well, God's Word will help us with that in a little bit when we get back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But I want to tell you about a young man named Peter this morning. Peter was 15 years old, and he and his mom and dad were going through this economic challenge of reduction in force, and they were not gainfully employed and weren't surviving, couldn't keep their house, and they had to move in with his grandfather, Grandpa. And Peter began to have new experiences in his life and learn what it was like to be on a farm. Peter's grandpa, he was a unique man. He realized that his grandpa was well respected and liked. But to Peter, there was just some peculiarities. Grandpa was weird. He was different. But he was, if anything, he was as predictable as a sunset. He had routines that every day Grandpa did. One of the things he did every day was after the evening meal, Grandpa would get up from the table, go outside, and there was a path that Grandpa took across the farm, down through the woods to the river. It was a daily activity, and Peter didn't know much about what that was or what was really involved in that, but there was one particular day that it all kind of came to a head for Peter, and this is what happened. Peter had been given the responsibility to help take care of the horses, and Peter had gone out to the barn where the horses were, and he was feeding this old mare and brushing her down. And while he was doing so, he heard a noise, a familiar noise. It was the old screen door on the front door of the house open and slam. I can hear that noise. Thinking about my grandpa's house in Marianna, Arkansas, and how that door would slam. And I could look out and hear Grandpa holler for me. But Peter was out there brushing this old mare and peeking over her sway back and looking up at the porch where Grandpa had just walked out with his cane and his old skinny legs and made it up to the edge of the porch. And then Peter said, with almost a kind of a spring in his step, he describes, Grandpa made his way down the steps and covered the distance between the house and the gate that goes out to the pasture. And Grandpa got to the gate, opened the gate, and stepped through and leaned his cane against the fence, against the gatepost, and took a deep breath and kind of surveyed things and looked around and had a smile on his face. And Peter was going, what's Grandpa up to? He was thinking about that. And this smile on his face. And then he saw Grandpa reach up and pat the bib on the front of his overalls, and Peter thought, That's where Papa keeps his Bible. And Papa stretched a little bit, and then he took off across the pasture on his path toward the woods and down to the river. Well, Papa didn't get too far, and Peter heard a voice. It was his father, Papa, hollered from the other side of the barn, "Hey, Father, wait. Let me catch up with you and walk with you today." And Papa stopped and said, "No, my son, not today." And Peter watched his father. Almost, it shocked him. Grandpa told him no. And so Peter heard his papa say, "What? Have I done something wrong? Why can't I go?" And Grandpa had already taken a few steps and had to stop again and said, "No, son, you've done nothing wrong." And just kind of smiled and took another step and started on his way, heading to the river for his evening stroll and his quiet time. Peter said his father, he was shaken. He watched his father just trying to come to grips with being rejected by his father and not being included in this evening walk. And he gathered himself and hollered one more time, "Father, wait." And his father said, "No." He said, "When you were a child, when you were younger, I allowed you to go with me and share in my quiet time at the river. But now you are a man and you need to find your own path." Peter was like, "What was that? What did Grandpa just tell my daddy?" That he couldn't go because he needed to find his own path. I'll come back to the story of Peter and his grandpa and his dad later in the message. But that event became a significant spiritual marker in Peter's life. Spiritual markers. Those are the events in our life where God speaks to us and we can always go back to those times and know that truth, that influence from God and His Holy Spirit and His Word was clearly spoken to us and gave us direction. Isn't that right, Butch? We know. There's those spiritual markers. I think of a time when I decided that I was going to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. That's where my journey began. That's my first spiritual marker in my life. I hope there's that kind of a spiritual marker for you that you go back to and know that's where your life and journey began. That's where your path starts. That's where the path starts for us. But there are other things as you reflect on and look at your path of your life and what God's doing in your life, there should be other spiritual markers that you can look back to. Another spiritual marker that I have is there was a time and occasion that Joni and I participated in a retreat, an Experiencing God weekend for couples with Dr. Henry Blackaby. Actually got to sit in the same room with him. That was cool. That is a kind of a watershed moment for me because in ministry at that time, as I was dreaming and looking at the opportunities before me, I had a narrow vision of what I thought I was going to do. And God was helping me see that there was a broader picture for me. And I was closed to it until that weekend and that time, that's a significant marker for me. I always look back to that. There are some times in my life where I haven't been quite as near the main path as I need to be. I've kind of gotten off path. There's a marker over there that I found myself away from where I needed to be. And God and His Holy Spirit spoke to me and brought me back closer to the main path. There are places in our ministry here at the church and my time with you in these past 20-something years that are very special to me. The years we did Judgment House, we turned this property into an alternative experience for the Halloween fall season and had thousands of people come through here and be challenged to know who Christ wants to be in their life before they enter into eternity. And we had hundreds go through the old choir room and pray and receive Christ. Those are spiritual events that I remember. And God encourages me with that as I look back on my path. I'm not sure what the markers look like for you in your life, but as you look around, there should be spiritual markers for you that should be encouragers. Today, what I want us to do is take a little bit of time and look at this passage of Scripture in Proverbs, very familiar, and take another look at it and see what God would say to us today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, or He will guide your path. Depend on what version of the Scripture you like to read. But the first part of that begins with trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust. How do we define that? How do we make that tangible, something we can look at and understand what trust is? Trust is a product of a relationship. Trust happens when we rely on somebody and they become reliable. Trust happens when we're honest with someone. When there's that element of commitment. Trust is a product because somebody hadn't lied to you. Somebody hadn't misled you. They have fulfilled an expectation. Those are all things that God wants us to know and experience with Him. It says, trust in the Lord with all our heart and know that He is going to love us, accept us, always be there for us, never break His word, never break a promise. It is a relationship with God that you can depend on that will always get you through. And it begins with that. If we can trust Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it gives us a stability that when things come, like the friend yesterday who got a call that her brother was killed tragically in an accident on a farm in Tennessee, or actually I think in another state, but they're moving back to Tennessee. She was shaken, but people gathered around her and had prayer with her and was encouraging her. It's because we place our trust and faith and our hope in God that He gets us through those life experiences and events when they happen. That'll be a spiritual marker for Linda in the days that follow. She'll look back and see how her friends and her family and others helped her during this time. This theme and idea of trusting the Lord with all our heart is nothing new. Moses told the nation of Israel that in Deuteronomy 6 and in other places. The disciples, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, also record it in the New Testament for us and tell us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. One of the good things about our Bible and these truths that God tries to help us to learn and see and apply to our lives is repetition. I needed that. As a child, I needed repetition, and I got it. And as adults and disciples of Christ, repetition is good for us. So learning to trust the Lord with all our heart is a beginning point for us on our journey that will always be there for us to help us and guide us. Second point is lean not on your own understanding. Our own understanding. It's interesting that Solomon writes this for us. God led him to write this in the book of wisdom in Proverbs. Solomon is considered by many to be the smartest man who ever lived on earth. His wisdom, his knowledge of things was better than anyone else. But yet he knew that he didn't know it all. And he sought the Lord and asked God for wisdom and asked him for guidance as he carried out the affairs of the kingdom. We should do the same. I know there are things that you and I know a good bit about. There are things that we think we can manage on our own. There are things that if you take your little phone and type in a subject and put that little DIY behind it, do it yourself, YouTube can find a way to help you do something, and it'll help you. But that's not what this is talking about, really. I think this is telling us not to try to become self-efficient and do it ourselves. This is telling us to rely on God, to turn to Him and let Him be the source and the answer and show Himself faithful to us. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." When we seek Him first, it's amazing how the rest of circumstances just kind of fade away. Oftentimes in my schedule, when I'm caught up with finding myself with the busy aspects of assisting and helping with some of the administrative activities around the church or committees, I kind of forget about what is the priority. And then a ministry opportunity will come or a benevolent need will come, and I'll get to show and reflect God's love to somebody, God's provision, the opportunity to share with them the plan of salvation and who Jesus wants to be in their life, and that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, trust Him, and lean not on our own understanding. And what a change of perspective that is for me, and how that brightens my day and lifts my day. And it helps me to remember that on my path and my journey, that is the priority. That's what we should be looking at implementing in our daily activity. The third point is another one of those all-inclusive statements. It says, in all our ways, acknowledge Him. In all our ways, or in just some of our activities? Acknowledge Him. One of the translations says, submit to Him. I grew up learning it in the King James Version that said, acknowledge Him. How do we acknowledge Him in all our ways? That means in all our actions and all our thoughts. It means, this gets a little personal here for some of us probably, how do we acknowledge Him? When we're dealing with the cashier at the store. When we're dealing with a long line that we're having to wait and wait and wait and wait our turn, and we feel like it's not going like we want it to. Parents, when we have to deal with something regarding our child's school and their teacher, how we react and respond and acknowledge God in our life is what that's talking about. In all our ways, we acknowledge Him. One of the things I enjoyed in the last few years, the reaction from this salesperson. I had a salesperson putting the pressure on me to buy something. And I have learned not to make impulsive decisions and buy when that pressure is put on like that. And I said to the salesperson, I said, I've learned not to make impulsive decisions, and what you're trying to help me do today is make a purchase I'm not ready for. I want to stop, and I want to pray about this, and I'll come back and talk to you tomorrow. That's what God has taught me. They de-escalated and wanted to back away and walk away quick. I was like, whew, I needed that space. Thank you, God. I acknowledged who He was in my life, and I needed a little space. And God gave it to me. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. It doesn't mean that we stop and pray over breakfast, and then we don't acknowledge God anymore until we stop for our next meal and we say a quick little prayer and ask God to bless the food. And then we're back to our afternoon schedule and appointments. And then that night we pause and gather with the family at the table and pray again. Whew, I've had 3 prayers today with God. In all our ways, acknowledge Him is a constant attitude of your heart and the activity of your life all day long from the time you get out of bed and put your feet on the floor. The New Testament tells us they, meaning the world, will know us by our love for one another, by our love for people. That is how we acknowledge and show and reflect who God is in our life. And it has an impact on our path. It is reflected in our journey that we're on. The fourth point, He will make our path straight. It does not say that our path will be smooth. It does not say that the path will be easy. It does not say that our path is now quick. It does say that He will guide our path. He will make our path straight. One of the amazing things about our relationship with God, when we turn to Him and He has spoken to us and we acknowledge Him and agree with God, from point A to point B where God's leading us, it is a straight line. And it's amazing how quickly you can move from point A to point B when you've asked God, what should I do now? And it's clear. But we struggle with that sometimes because we struggle with that. We like to maintain and we control. We struggle with that. We want it and we desire it, but we like to do it ourselves. Our pride that we struggle with, we think we know better. We know what's best for us. And the result of submitting to Him, surrendering to Him, is where we need to find ourselves if we really want to allow Him to straighten things out for us and resolve the difficulty that we have found ourselves in. What does that look like? It's another word that's kind of difficult. Obedience. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. As you have spent time with God and His Word and Scripture, there are truths, there's places of application in our lives that He wants to help us and lead us and influence us and bring about change in us, but it takes obedience. But then, the result, the reward of that is He straightens our path out and He gets us through. Are we ready for that? Is that what we're willing to do? Peter, let's get back to Peter. Peter had that life-changing experience that day out there watching his grandpa and his father interact about going to the river, not being allowed to go to the river. Grandpa had told him, when you were a child, when you were younger, you were allowed to come along and go with me to the river and participate in my quiet time. But now you are a man and you need to find your own path. Peter was like, what's going to happen next? What's Grandpa going to say to that? What's Papa going to say in his response? Excuse me. Peter heard his father, Papa, say, Dad, you know I don't like to walk alone. What is this telling me to find my own path? I don't like to walk alone. And Grandpa said to him, when you find the right path with God, you never walk alone. When you find the right path with God, you never walk alone. If you've made that decision and Christ is your Lord and Savior and you've taken Him into your heart, He promises He will never leave you or forsake you. He is always there. Satan or no one can pluck you out of His hand. You are His child and you belong to Him. There's an ownership and a relationship there with Christ that is so secure. And then the instructions of not leaning on your own understanding, always acknowledging Him, and the relationship of God taking care of your path in life and giving you direction and purpose and allowing you to have influence on those around you. Peter later tells in his story about how later he sat down with his grandpa and ask him, what's this business about, this path, this stuff you're talking about with Papa? And Peter made a decision and commitment to accept Christ. And this truth from this passage of Scripture has been a guiding force for him the rest of his life. I often come back to this myself, that these simple words. I remember Brother Jerry and I talking about that when he was here in ministry. And he spent a few times talking about it when he was here in the pulpit. But it's these simple truths, church, friends, that wherever you go, whatever activity is happening in your life, if you can let these things influence you and be reflected in your life, what a great witness you will be, and you will really be that salt and light that Christ calls us to be. We're fixing to have a time of decision here in just a moment. Lisa's going to come and play. Our hymn that we're going to sing with one another is, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. Wherever He Leads, I'll Go. My Christ who loves me so, wherever He leads, I'll go. in the analogies and references this morning to the path and where you might be and how the Lord and His Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I just want to tell you this, that you are only one step, wherever you are, you're only one step away from forgiveness. You're only one step away from being accepted. You're only one step away from the loving arms of God who wants to embrace you. So let me invite you to stand. I want to lead us in a little prayer. And then Sean's going to lead us as we sing. And I hope these words, as you begin to sing them in a moment, are really true in your heart and your life. That as you follow the Lord and His guidance and leadership in your life, He will bless your path.